Today's reading is from John chapter 9, get these on right, verses 35 to 41. And it's called Spiritual Blindness. That's the title. So it's just a short reading. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out. And when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Who is he, sir?" the man asked. "Tell me so that I may believe in him." Jesus said, "You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you." Then the man said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshipped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind." Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, "What, are we blind too?" Jesus said, "If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains."
Let's pray. God, we thank you for your written word, the Bible, recorded for us that we might know throughout the ages who you are and what it means for us. God, this morning, as we look more closely at John chapter 9, may you speak your truth to us. Give us hearts and minds to hear what you would have to say to us. Holy Spirit, stir our hearts to you. Stir our hearts that we might grow in love and faith in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, over the last couple of years, there has been a trend on social media called "I was today years old." Now, what this trend is all about is that people share things that might seem obvious to others, but they've only just realized or learnt about. And so they say, "I was today years old when I learnt that, dot, dot, dot." Or, "I was today years old when I realized that, dot, dot, dot." So here's some that I found for us this morning. "I was today years old when I found out that a ponytail in your hair is there to mimic the tail of a pony." "I was today years old when I realized that Egyptians didn't actually speak in hieroglyphs." Or, "I was today years old when I learned that a drumette is not from a baby chicken, but is actually part of the wing." "I was today years old when I learnt that the on-off power button symbol is a combination of the on and the off symbols." And the last one for us, and this one I was completely dumbfounded with. Kinder surprises, the capsule in the middle of them is to simulate the yolk. These things might seem obvious to some, but sometimes these things astound us. And for the man born blind that we meet in John chapter 9, he is astounded to read and meet Jesus the Messiah. See, he might say, "I was today years old when I saw the Messiah." But as much as chapter 9 centers on the physical healing of the man born blind, it is also really about the spiritual blindness of everyone. Everyone who witnesses Jesus, not just those who are physically blind. See, Jesus doesn't just heal and physically heal people for the sake of physically healing sickness. He does it that the glory of God and the goodness of God might be proclaimed amongst the people. Even when Jesus heals the man, the disciples have asked him before he heals them, "Has this man sinned? Or is it because of his parents' sin that he's blind, that he was born blind?" But Jesus says, "No, this man didn't sin. This suffering is not because of his sin." We should never assume that someone is suffering because of something that they have done. sin doesn't necessarily mean that we suffer. Sometimes we suffer simply because we live in a broken world where sin and the effects of sin are present, not because someone has done something wrong. I've had friends who in their pregnancy discovered medical conditions with their kids that have meant that when the baby was born, the chances of survival were virtually nil. And these babies have passed away after just a few days. I've watched close friends suffer through cancer simply because that is the reality of this world. Sometimes suffering just is because of the reality, the world that we live in, not because someone has sinned. But what we see in this man born blind, Jesus says, is that this situation is so that God may be glorified, that God and the truth of God might be proclaimed in this situation and to us today. Now, we have no idea how old this man is. We don't hear that. We don't have any details about it. And we have no idea, therefore, how long he has had to suffer with blindness. Maybe today you are in a similar boat, that you're in a season of suffering and struggle and sickness. You've been crying out to God, God, I want you to come and move. I want to see you heal me. It's important to remember that God's character doesn't change in suffering. The fact that we don't know how long this man has suffered is probably indicating that he's suffered a long time. But God's character doesn't change in suffering. Don't think this morning that God wishes suffering on anyone. He is not a malevolent God who takes delight in our pain and suffering. But rather, he will use the suffering that we face as a result of the brokenness of our world and our own sin at times as well, to help produce in us the glory of him, and that we might know his goodness in the midst of everything. C.S. Lewis says that pain is a megaphone for God to rouse a deaf world. See, in pain, we are reminded of our need for God. We are reminded of the realities of our fallen and broken world, that sin has entered into it. In pain, we are reminded that actually we can't do this on our own. We need God. And in pain, as we look to God, this speaks volumes to the world saying, well, how come they keep proclaiming that God is good in the midst of all their suffering that they're going through? Pain is a megaphone that God uses to say, hey, things aren't how they're supposed to be. You need to look to me and trust in me. And as we do this, God uses the storms and seasons of struggle to shape us into his people, dependent on him. So today, if you're like the man in those years leading up to Jesus coming, waiting for someone to come and heal you that you might see, don't give up hope. Don't lose hope in the midst of the storm and struggle that you're in. Continue to look to God in the midst of this. Continue to ask him to move and heal you. You might not see the physical healing this side of heaven. That's God's prerogative. But don't lose hope in him. Keep looking to and trusting in him. Because it's only in Jesus that we truly have hope, because he is Lord of all. See, Jesus shows in his physical healing of the blind man that he is capable of doing this physical healing. But the greater need for each and every one of us is not just physical healing, but that our hearts would be turned to God, that we might believe and put our hope in him, that we might be made right with God. This is the greatest need of each and every one of us. sickness or not, our hearts and relationship with God is far more important than anything else. But back to the blind man. Eventually, he has his eyes opened to Jesus. But even as his eyes are open, he doesn't spiritually see that Jesus is his hope within this. It still takes Jesus proclaiming to him, "I am the Son of Man, the Messiah," for this man to believe and put his hope in him. See, the blind man, or the man born blind, who we can now see, after he's gone to the pool where Jesus has sent him to wash off, goes home. He wanders off home. And everyone there is astounded that this guy can see. And they go, "Oh, that's not the guy. He just looks like the guy." And the dude goes, "No, no, it is truly me. This guy, Jesus, made some mud, put it on my eyes, told me to go to the pool called Scent. And so I went and washed it, and now I can see." But he's not sure still about who Jesus is. See, having eyes open doesn't always mean hearts open. That just because we can see physically doesn't mean that our spiritual hearts are turned to Jesus. All this man was willing to proclaim when the Pharisees and his friends and family ask him about it is that he doesn't know whether Jesus is a sinner or not. He's not entering into the theological debates around who Jesus is. He can only say what Jesus did for him. And he goes on to say that this man, Jesus, despite everything else that you're debating about it, he has to be from God, because God doesn't answer those who don't call on God and aren't from him. And so he still isn't seeing him as the Messiah at this point. Sometimes I think for those around us who aren't Christians and don't believe in God, this is their story as well. That as we pray for them and as they might experience healing, they might attribute it to God and say, "Yeah, God did this in me." But it doesn't actually reveal then the full impact of what has happened. That they say, "Yeah, cool, I've been healed and now I'm going to keep going living my life," rather than actually in this healing, I see the truth of who God is. I see what this means for our life. And as Christians, I hope that we always proclaim that God is the Lord of all. He is our hope, that he is the one who heals us and redeems us and restores us and gives us life, that we would always look to him and be proclaiming his goodness in every situation. And yes, we can give thanks for medicine and all the wonderful things that God has created to help heal people. We can say, "God, thank you for the way that over the years you have made incredibly intelligent people who are far smarter than me, who have come up with these drugs that help us to be cured of sickness and illness. But in all of that, my cure is not the medicine. My cure is the God who works through the physical things of this world as well as the spiritual." And as Christians, not only should we be proclaiming it in our lives, but we also need to be sharing that hope with those around us. See, Jesus comes back to the man, and it is as we heard in our reading, Jesus heard that they, the Pharisees, had thrown the man born blind out. And when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" The man's response is, "Tell me that I might believe in him. Who is this man?" And Jesus says, "It is I." It is in the revealing of Jesus in this situation, the words that are spoken to this man alongside the physical actions as well, that actually reveal Jesus to this man. See, we can't just assume that as God does something, that is going to be enough. Actually, we might need to proclaim the truth of him to our friends, our family, our work colleagues, our uni classmates, the people that we encounter, that they might know the hope in God. Now, this doesn't always have to be in your face proclaiming Jesus. You've got to believe. Sometimes this is the simple witness of us continuing to show up in the storm and the struggle and keep proclaiming the goodness of God. Keep showing the hope that we have, that actually this life isn't the end of the story. Our hope is in something far greater, that our relationship with God here and now is wonderful and it helps empower us. But we also know that the victory is won and that when we get to heaven, we get to praise God with all that we are. But it's not just the man in this passage who has blindness. Jesus makes the bold proclamation, "I've come into this world so that the blind will see and those who see will be blind." That is, that those who think they know what is right by their good deeds will become so enamored in their path that actually they miss the one that has been sent by God to save and redeem. That they become blind to the Messiah that is right in front of them. This is true of the Pharisees that Jesus encounters. That they become so set in their ways, saying, if we can just uphold our laws, then we will be right with God, that we're missing God right in front of us. And so they say, surely you don't mean us, Jesus, that we're blind to now. Jesus' response is that they are. They expected Jesus to say, no, you're all right. But Jesus says, if you could see now, or if you had claimed to be blind and not know your own path, then actually you would know that I am the only hope that is present here. See, the thing that separates Christianity from every other religion in the world is that every other religion is about earning our worth in a relationship with God through what we do. Christianity and a relationship with God is not about what we do, but it is about what He has done. It is all based on Him. Not on us, but on Him. And so this man who was born blind goes from being unsure and unable to see to seeing Jesus but being unsure about, well, who is Jesus? To at the end of this passage saying, you are the Lord, I believe in you. This morning, as we think about this, as we think about the reality of this man being born blind and healed by Jesus, but then also the spiritual blindness that is present, I want to ask us the question that the Pharisees asked Jesus. Are we blind too? Have we lost sight of Jesus in the midst of all that is going on in our lives, the good and the bad? Have we become about Jesus plus for our salvation? That just as the Pharisees and the other religious leaders of the time were so focused on making sure we do right that we actually have forgotten that Jesus is our only hope. That it's not about Jesus plus attending church. It's not about Jesus plus baptism. It's not about Jesus plus making sure I've read my Bible every morning or every night, making sure I've done that throughout the year. It's not about me making sure that I've done my 5, 10, 15 hour of prayer each day. It's not about me doing my good works. The only hope I have is Jesus. The only healing and wholeness I have is in Jesus. Have we lost sight of Him? It's not just about us adding things to Jesus and forgetting that He is our only hope, but also it's about us becoming dependent on other things in life. Here in Australia, we are incredibly privileged that for most of us, we can have a comfortable life pretty reasonably. That we have great access to medical facilities in our nation. That for many of us, we can live in relative comfort, providing above and beyond our basic needs. We don't need to depend on others within this. So we can slip into thinking that it's all about me and what I can do and what I can provide, and this is my story. Rather than going, actually, no, all of these things are great, but it's only God who provides for me. As a teenager, I struggled a lot with my health. And the doctors couldn't really ever give me any answers. They ran all the tests. They could prove that I had a brain. That was good. There was nothing wrong with it. There was no major issues with my body that they could find. No concerning growths or anything. And in the midst of this, even as I tried to look to God in this, and people would say, Steve, how do you stay so positive in the midst of this? Even as I continued to trust in that this wasn't the end of the story, it was easy in those times still to slip into my worth is what I can do. And that when I can't do something because of my health, well, there's an easy out for me. Rather than actually know my hope is in Jesus. My hope in the midst of everything is in Jesus. Because we must keep looking to Jesus. Now, the doctors eventually worked out what was going on with me. And I have a condition called orthostatic hypotension. Once they worked that out, we were able to get some management plans around what it looks like to actually function and live life well in this. And I'm in a place where most days now, I am reasonably well off. But in the midst of all of it, I am reminded that it doesn't matter about me. It is all about Jesus and looking to him. Because in the words of the Dylan Panthers, clear eyes, full hearts, can't lose. That no matter what is going on in our life, when we have clear eyes focused on Jesus, when we have hearts full worshiping him, it doesn't matter about anything else in our life. We can't lose. Because we've already won in Jesus. So this morning, let's turn our eyes to Jesus. Let's look full in his wonderful place. And let us be known by him, and him known by us, that we might live in his glory and grace. Let's pray. God, we thank you. We thank you that you are a God who heals the physical. But we thank you that you are a God who heals the spiritual. That God, where we could not have done it, you have already won the victory. And so God, we look to you. Let our eyes be focused on you. Let our hearts be turned to you with all that we are. That we might know you and love you. And that we might proclaim your goodness and love and grace to the world around us as well.